We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's the True Faith Newcastle United podcast. Newcastle have been beaten by Manchester City by 2-0 and are out of the FA Cup. They are now out of all three cup competitions this season and find themselves in 10th place in the Premier League. And we're going to talk in this podcast about the game last night, what it means for the rest of the season, and maybe beyond that. I'm Alex. I'm joined by Si, Charlotte, and Johnny Greenwood, who's most well known for his role at Newcastle Fans TV. So thanks for joining me, friends. We have to get into this one, and I kind of want to start with a general question, and anyone can pipe up. And the question I have for you all is, I kind of see not loads of middle ground about this one. There's kind of two predominant schools of thought. Number one, even if Newcastle had turned up at Manchester City with Sandro Tonali, with Joelinton, with Nick Pope, with 2022 Sven Botman, with loads of good players, we would still possibly have the outcome that we have now, and therefore getting too upset or too kind of overburdening ourselves with analysis of this fixture and what happens is pointless, because it's highly unlikely, whatever happened, that Newcastle were going to be the first team in 39 attempts to win a game at Manchester City's home ground. And the other school of thought is, Newcastle are dog shit. This has been coming for a while. We've gone there. We've had 23% of the ball. We barely made it hard for them. We conceded two embarrassing soft goals. If Coventry City had gone to the Etihad and put in the same performance, that would be considered still relatively meek and just okay. Yet here we are celebrating the fact that Eddie Howe tried to make it more difficult for the opposition by changing the formation and the tactics slightly. So they're the extremes. Where do you guys sit within those two?
Well, neither, because they're both ridiculous to an extent. Yeah, listen, I don't know who is getting upset and massively surprised by the result last night. We spent all week knowing that this was going to be really, really hard, and it was a real 1 in 100 chance of beating Man City away. The performance was a bit better.
It's 1-39, but yeah, sorry.
We'll see. We'll see how long this run goes on for.
Statistics right.
I think it's more likely to get closer to 139 the way they're playing. Look, we've still started the game yesterday with Dubravka, Lascelles, Byrne, Murphy, Longstaff, you know. The teams on paper are worlds apart, and yes, last season was brilliant, and some of these players are capable of better than they have been playing for weeks and weeks now, but that is still just like, it's an impossible fixture in a season where we've just had ridiculous cup draw after ridiculous cup draw. I just couldn't get myself too emotionally invested in that. We've lost the game 2-0, and yeah, in the context of the season, as you described it, it's another disappointment in a season that's had quite a few disappointments, but ultimately, if we go back to the start of the season, it's going to be tough. We knew it was going to be tough. The fixtures we've had and the things that have been thrown our way, it's just another bump in the road in a season that some people might want to end, but there's loads still to play for, in my opinion. There's loads of games we can still win to get ourselves in a good position to go into the summer and kind of hit the big reset button, that which we all know is needed. But yeah, I just don't think last night's performance was that bad. I think it was decent. I think, you know, we still lost 2-0. You know, we've had some chances to score. I would describe both of their goals as fortunate, both their goals as lucky. But we could have lined up another 100 different ways and had that result 100 more times, you know. Like you say, with some of the class lads back as well, it still might not have affected the outcome. I think it was okay, honestly, and I'm not too disheartened. I'm not going to define our season on the result we got at the Etihad.
Yeah, I don't think the Etihad is the yardstick, is it? Like, going away to Manchester City is the yardstick against which we should measure a Newcastle United performance. I think, having said that, it was a better performance. It was a better performance than we've seen in a little while. Manchester City are an incredibly good team. They're just so good that going there and putting in the performance that we did and seeing the sort of tweaks and the things. I'm not saying everything's going to be brilliant now and Eddie Howe's a genius for making these changes, but we've been crying out for changes for a while and crying out for a team that that we line up differently and in response to the actual opposition rather than just sticking to a system and hoping it works. And it did kind of work a little bit last night. There was the goals were fluky. I agree with you, Si. The first goal in particular, I think, was really irritating goal to concede because I don't believe that it came from some sort of mastery of the ball from Man City. It came from a sort of deflection off Dan Burn, and they are good to get themselves. They're brilliant to get themselves into that position in the first place. But it was just a little bit of an annoying goal to concede. We managed to press up the pitch even in that sort of back five, kind of with the sort of Dan Burn and Jacob. I mean, when I saw the team sheet, I thought, oh, this will be a bloodbath. This will be quite bad, and it wasn't. So I suppose in that respect. But then is that how, I suppose what you're saying is that how low the bar is now for us that I'm like, oh, it wasn't a bloodbath. Great.
I thought we barely laid a glove on them going forward, I have to be honest. I thought, you know, Isak's had one good chance in the first half, which he's done everything right. He's hit the shot downwards and made it as difficult as possible. But if we're being brutally honest, Manchester City didn't go out of second gear, in my opinion. They've just kept a lot of the ball. We were chasing it a lot of the time and we were hoping that they were going to make mistakes, and then any time they looked like they were making a mistake, there was always somebody in a bit of space and they could make that pass. And it was so frustrating. Like Ortega would have about two or three players that were just like covered, and then Kovacic will just come out of nowhere, and you just think, "All right, we're back to a square one." But yes, the goals are unfortunate for Manchester City side of things, but they had chances. Dubravka made a couple of good saves, especially from Doku in the second half. I thought it was a really, really good save. But we talk about the formation changing, and it was good to see what Newcastle were like with a five at the back under Eddie Howe, because we've not really seen it at all. You know, we've seen it under the previous manager, which I'm not going to talk about too much, but I think that if we went four at the back or five at the back, there would have been people going, we should have done this, we should have done that. So I think he was damned if he did and damned if he didn't. So there's so many reasons why Newcastle United didn't win that game of football yesterday, but the vast majority of it is because of how good Manchester City are, how good Phil Foden and Bernardo Silva are, in my opinion, because they just found pockets of spaces and really exploited it. And if they had the shooting boots on, they may have scored. Well, in Phil Foden's case, if he had his shooting boots on, he may have scored a couple. But yeah, no surprise, unfortunately.
I think you're doing us a bit of a disservice, Johnny. I thought we performed pretty well. I thought that the setup was decent. I thought we made it hard for Man City and didn't make them look world-class. You're right, some of those players still stood out because they are that good, but I thought we gave him a decent game of football. Yes, Isak had our only real good shot on target, and I think he should have had another one when he was put through and just got the ball stuck in his feet. That's another really good chance. Yeah. We were 3-on-2 there, and he's just kind of botched it. And then towards the end, when we had a little bit of a resurgence, when the subs came on, you had kind of Miggy getting in a few times, and if he was just a bit better at football or just a bit more clinical, you know, we could have made something of that game. And I think the whole plan was probably that. It was to keep it tight and not concede a ridiculous fluky deflected goal times two. And then, you know, if we're still in the game towards the end, you can bring some of these lads on with a bit of fresh legs and, you know, on another day, might have won the game that way or might have took it extra time and got the penalties. I think the misfortune of the two goals killed us because the first one was so early. It meant, right, now we're hanging on to a 1-0 and even then you've still got to find a goal. So I thought, you know, in terms of how we approached the game, I don't think there's much else you could have done. And I thought we did do enough to... I don't know, yeah, statistically, one in 50, I don't know. You know, we might have won that game on another occasion with the way we played with that group of players, but I think they did all right, and I think Man City didn't look brilliant. I thought we contained them as well as we could, and you're right, two or three other chances. Dubravka's made a couple of saves. It's an argument he could have saved the second one as well, but I thought we were better than perhaps what people are saying here.
I think that I kind of agree with you in the context of looking at this game as it's own game without all of the other issues Newcastle United have had recently. Eddie Howe's press conference on Friday before the game was really interesting. Now, this is a guy, by the way, Howe, who we are told just doesn't read any media, isn't attuned at all to fan opinion. He kind of just isolates himself from everything. But he made a clear point in the press conference on Friday of saying, I was angry after Chelsea, but the setup was fine. It wasn't the setup, which made me think, well, why are you saying that? Because everyone was criticizing the setup against Chelsea, and you kind of come out saying that, and then you've changed it for Man City, and maybe that's all fine. Maybe you're going to play Chelsea differently than Man City. I think if Newcastle had gone to Chelsea with, if not the formation change, though I'd probably think even with the formation change, but with that attitude and that game plan, they'd have beaten Chelsea, in my opinion, because we played into Chelsea's hands so much. We played exactly how Chelsea wanted us to play, and there's no excuse for it. I thought it was absolutely shocking. Didn't do this podcast after, so I'm kind of saying it now to our listenership for the first time.
You've been desperate for that moment.
Well, it's I don't know if I've been desperate to say that, but I'm desperate to kind of bring it up now because you're right, Si, and yeah, mostly you, because you're the one saying we did all right yesterday, but ultimately it's a cup tie. You've had 23% of the ball and haven't really given Manchester City a game, and it's a cup tie. It's not a league game when you've got goal difference. It's a quarterfinal FA Cup. You've got 8,000 fans there. It's live on BBC in front of the nation. It should be an occasion, and there's been loads of mitigation this season, and that mitigation has slowly dropped off because ultimately Newcastle yesterday are really only missing Joe Linton and Tonali, who are huge losses. Kieran Trippier and, you know, another right back. But then
and Nick Pope. Only.
I was just about to come to it. But this is the thing. It's not like Newcastle have gone into this one knackered. It's not like Newcastle have gone into this one with 10 injuries like they were early this season. He's just given a new contract to Emil Kraft, and he doesn't fancy him at right back in the back four, and he doesn't fancy him at right wing back. And Jacob Murphy, I thought, did okay, by the way. So it's. I'm not trying to make the case that Howe does loads of things differently we win yesterday, but I do understand the overall perception that we have fallen so far this season that I was at Man City for the first game early the season, the away game, when I thought the scoreline was 1-0, but we didn't do ourselves justice. We had a lot of better players playing. We had Trippier, we had Pope, we had Tonali, we had Joe Linton. So even then, we weren't able to really stretch them. I suppose the concern is, like, could you imagine on that opening day of the season us coming away from an FA Cup quarterfinal thinking, ooh, it was 2-0 to them, but we did all right. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying I understand the frustration that Howe doesn't seem to have a lot of answers a lot of the time, apart from playing this mental open 4-3-3 system. And then we go to Man City in a one-off kind of shootout quarter final, and then it's backs to the wall, then it's five at the back, then it's completely seed possession and get a bit unlucky. And we're also praising that. If we'd gone and performed properly at Chelsea and got a result at Chelsea, I think a lot of fans would be way more comfortable with what happened yesterday, because all yesterday makes me think is, well, where was that on Monday? And Howe can make mistakes. How can grow as a manager? We need him to. We want him to. I'm not saying he has to have all of the answers all of the time, but Newcastle have got themselves into a position where they've got their best player, Bruno Guimarães, after the game basically saying 10 games to save the season. Footballers don't normally come out with stuff like that. That's not a typical thing a footballer would say. We've got 10 games to save the season. I agree with them. You all might agree with them, but I don't want to just kind of leave this cup quarter final thinking, oh, well, Man City in second gear, you know, it's okay to just kind of go there, have a bit of a plan. The plan doesn't work, but kind of three cheers for Eddie Howe, because at least he's tried. You know, we're supposed to be beyond that.
Does the plan not work? Did it not work? I know we lost, but we lost because of two very frustrating goals to concede off two deflected goals. I felt like the plan yesterday.
Does it just not work because we
lost, or is that what you mean?
It's like Johnny said earlier. I mean, Johnny, you articulated it before. Do you come back to Charlotte, because it's your point, really?
Yeah, it was my point. Did the plan work? When you look at the face of it, probably not, because of what we saw. But it's so difficult to judge because, like I say, 73% possession for Man City, or 72, whatever it was. We couldn't keep the ball for the first half. The plan in the first half, we were unfortunate to concede the goals we did, but we looked a bit all over the place. I thought the three centre-halves looked a little bit all over the place at times in the first half, but again, you've got to appreciate who you're facing. Second half, we were a little bit better, and the changes made that, and I know you want to touch about that a little bit more in depth, but again, I go back to it. What did we really do apart from that Isak chance in the first half? I know he has one where he sort of gets a half a chance, but I think we're clutching at straws there. We really, really are. We have basically took on a Manchester City team. Yes, we are the best team on the planet right now, but
not top of the Premier League.
I know, which is bizarre. Hopefully they do win the league. I couldn't bear the other ones win. But that's a different story. But no, I just don't think the plan of having the five at the back, I'd have liked to have gone five at the back against Arsenal, because at least we would have seen what it would have been like. We would have had a bit of a preview
going
into this game.
Great point to bring up Arsenal. Great point. Mm-hmm.
Because if we did have that, we could have seen, right, this is what we need to do. But because we just basically put in a new formation because of the opposition who we were playing against, I have to be honest, I don't think he was wrong doing that. I think something had to change in some sort of capacity. It worked in a couple of pieces. Maybe in the second half it worked, but
yeah, but it's a 90-minute game.
Exactly.
I get it.
And it's a cup. When it's a cup game, like Alex says, if it was a 1-0 or 2-0 against Man City back in the Bruce days, we'd go, well, that's not a bad result. But this is a different Newcastle United right now, and we need to be a bit more brave.
I take your point.
We're just a team of contradictions at the minute because. Yeah. Eddie Howe, again, maybe I'm listening too much to Eddie Howe these days. Maybe everything he says I should just disregard as he disregards fan opinion, so they say. And to give listeners and viewers a bit of an insight to that, we did a live event, about a month ago now, something like that, 5 weeks ago. And one of the journalists on the night said that Eddie Howe was shocked that Dan Byrne was getting criticism. That's how little it was put to him that Dan Byrne was getting criticism from fans. And he was like, what? Dan Byrne, who'd just been rinsed by Luton and Bournemouth for goals down that side and been subbed. And you know, that was kind of the point was made to demonstrate how little he just doesn't tune in to what other people are saying. But he says before the game, we'll have to go there and give it a real go. We'll have to go there and make it difficult for Man City. And I'm not sure we did. You know, and the deflected goals, I have more sympathy with the first one because Bernardo Silva was shooting near post and the ball goes far post. But then to allow the same player in the same position to do the same thing again, you've got to say that the communication between Byrne, Botman and Willock just isn't there. So we can kind of, you know, tell ourselves how unlucky we are. And I think the first one is unlucky, but the second one, particularly with the game situation, is just bad defending. It is bad defending. I don't think Dvravka should save it. It's just one of those things when the football's deflected, going at pace to the goal. It's very hard as a goalkeeper to get anything on it. But ultimately, Newcastle, they're out of the FA Cup. And I'm torn between, well done, Eddie Howe, because, you know, it is good to finally see some sort of effort to mitigate what the opposition can do, where we just go to Chelsea and play Forest at home and play Luton and play Bournemouth and just play the same way every time. But also, like you said, Johnny, you know, there should be consequences for this. If you're going to do it for this game, where was it at Arsenal? Why did you not do it in Arsenal when you had more players available? If Tino Livramento is available, does he play 4-3-3? These are the things we don't know, and results matter, and we got beat 2-0. That's all I'll say to finish.
I think you are reading too much into what Eddie Howe says. If he comes out and says we're going to have a good go here, he's probably secretly thinking, right, that'll make them think we're going to come out at them, and actually we're going to play quite a bit. You know, it's mind games, or it might not be. It might just be him just saying stuff to say it. I don't think you need to overanalyze everything he says, because we've had him nearly 3 years now, and he doesn't say a lot and he doesn't give a lot away.
My point is, he normally doesn't, but then he's in that press conference saying, you know, post Chelsea, he says loads of positives, and then he was a bit more honest on Friday and he says I was really angry after that game. Good, as were we all.
Yeah.
But then he's still saying, but it wasn't the setup. But then I'm going to change my setup completely. You know, we could go on about this.
He's presumably saying that that's not what the plan was for Chelsea. You know, the players haven't followed. If he's saying that it wasn't the system, then he's saying the players didn't follow the system themselves.
If that's the case, then that's a real concern. After all this time, why are they doing that? The players aren't following his instructions. But he was kind of making the point that we conceded terrible goals, but I think he was possibly saying it was more individual errors than anything systemic. But we have to break. We could go on all day about this point. And the only thing that will determine this discussion is what happens in future games and future results. And we might talk about that. Well, we'll talk about that later in the show. Going to leave you now with a couple of adverts. We produce these shows advertisement free on our Patreon platform, link in the description to this podcast. We have absolutely loads of content about Newcastle United in the 2 weeks until the next fixture against West Ham. If you'd come and join us in that, it would be much appreciated. Back after these.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Let's talk about the players and the team that Howe picks, because for a long time this season, Newcastle were thought, or Howe was thought to basically, you know, the 11 picked themselves and there was nothing from the bench. That hasn't been the case for a little while now. And again, Eddie Howe in his press conference on Friday, far more revealing, in my opinion, pushed back on criticism of Sean Longstaff, saying he's been playing injured all season, really. He has injuries in either both sides or both feet, which sounds pretty bad for a footballer. And he's having to play with injections, and fans should lay off. And then the reaction to that amongst people I know and on social media, at least, was, all right, well, Eddie, you pick him. You now do have other options there that you don't want to use. Why are you continuing to play a player who is destroying? His reputation has collapsed amongst Newcastle fans when it was so high end of last season, early this season. Why are you continuing to do this? And it was put to him by a couple of journalists, and he said, you know, Elliot Anderson has had a bad injury. We need to kind of watch over him, bring him back, all that kind of thing. Do it carefully. Lewis Miley's young, you have to protect him. But I would say to that, okay, well, if Sean Longstaff got injured, Lewis Miley just plays, and the team is being harmed because of it. But the overall question I want to put to you all first before we get into the nitty-gritty of it is, you know, do you agree that Newcastle looked better yesterday once he made those four changes at once? Do you think that those players actually enhanced the team? And if so, does that not speak to how potentially being too loyal to the same players when he has these options from the bench, if they can make a difference at Man City away?
I think they just looked re-energised, those four players that came on. They really did. I think Lewis Hall, I forgot what he looked like, to be honest. But I thought he did okay. I thought he was better. But I think it was because of the formation that we saw a better Lewis Hall, because of the fact that he was used to being that left wing back, if you like. Mm-hmm. The difference from the left wing back and a left back, I think he's going to have to learn if Newcastle resort going back to four, which I'm assuming they will for West Ham. But I want to see Lewis Hall getting a run of games, because regardless of what people say, yes, it's 10 big games, but realistically, if Dan Burn, who isn't going to get any better, and you've got a kid on the bench, at least give him three or four games or even five games in a row just to settle in at this Newcastle United system, if you like, because I do think that will benefit him in the long run. The other one that I thought was quite impressive was Lewis Miley again, and he didn't look out of place at all, which is his biggest strength.
I think the Lewis Hall thing's interesting, isn't it? And lots of people have talked about how, like, what is going on with Lewis Hall. He is only 19, which, you know, much is made of Miley's age, but it's only about 18 months between them. But this week he was called up for the England, like, youth team. I don't know if youth team's the right word, but not our main team. And I sort of thought, like, what? How? He's played no football for us. There's obviously an excellent player there. There's clearly a lot going on. Howe has talked about how good he is and how he's here for the long term and he is going to stay past the summer. So I do sort of think, why aren't we using him? Why aren't we? And I agree with Johnny, when he came on, he was better. But you kind of touched on it there. I think him and Miley, I feel like it must be a protective thing in some way. Like, he must want them to be, Miley in particular, maybe a bit more rested, having played a long run of games for a long time, which, again, as a young player, he's still getting used to the system. He's still getting used to this kind of level of football. I kind of understand that. But Hall is a bit of a question mark for me. The protection kind of element of it does break down once you hear him in a press conference say he's injecting Sean Longstaff's ankles every week and putting him on the pitch. Because after that, I'm thinking, okay, I get why you might be protecting these younger players, but surely there's a duty of care here to protect all the players. And that means giving Sean Longstaff a rest. But I don't know. I have to trust. I still sort of am clawing at this trust that whatever he's seeing in training means that this is the best 11, but maybe it's just this loyalty thing that's creeping into the conversation a bit more now.
It's a really tough one because, and we'll get on Elliot Anderson, I'm sure, but like, in terms of the starting 11, Anderson is back from a big injury. Lewis Miley, for all his positives, and every time he plays, you definitely see sparks of a really good footballer in there. When he was in the team, we were just losing games. And, you know, I just do not think you can set up, especially at Man City away, but for most Premier League games, with a midfield of Willock, Bruno and Lewis Miley, they're all very forward-minded players, and that's just like, you're just going to leave yourself so exposed. So patching up Sean Longstaff isn't ideal, and I really hope that Elliot Anderson gets fit, and there's your answer. But I get it. The Lewis Hall one is an interesting one because he's come on and played decent. It's really hard to judge the performance of the substitutes after 65 minutes against a Man City game who played most of it in second gear but were probably back in the first gear by then. You know, they'd eased off a bit and they were just seeing out the game. Gave us a bit of a chance to get back in it, and there was certainly some fresh legs and energy, and we played well. Don't know if it would have gone the same if any of those players had started the game. We just don't. Like I said before, I think the lineup and the setup to begin the game was fine, and it might have worked on another day if we hadn't been a bit unlucky. Take your point about the second goal, and I agree that even if the deflection's unlucky, we could have done more to block it. But I just don't know. Elliot Anderson looks brilliant, and I'm really excited to see him get fully fit, but I totally get why he's been protected. You've got this Dan Burn situation where he is the first choice left back, and you've got this 19-year-old third choice left back. We haven't even talked about Matty Target and why he's not getting getting a look. And that's a bigger enigma when Dan Burn's had this period of kind of flaky form. And I also get why Eddie Howe's coming out, and there's no way he's not aware of social media, by the way. I think that's all bullshit.
Man cannot stop lying.
Pretending to be, Dan Burns getting criticism. Like, he's just protecting the players, obviously, which is fine. He's allowed to protect his players in press conferences. He's going to do the same with Longstaff. He's going to say lay off him. He's actually playing, you know, that's fine. That's a manager protecting his players. I'm not going to get too upset about that. But yes, Longstaff needs to come out of that team. But the options at the minute are Lewis Miley, who I think needed a break himself. And he's obviously chosen to protect him as a priority over Longstaff. And then Elliot Anderson, hopefully, is an answer to come and help us freshen up that midfield in the next few months. Desperately needs to happen. I don't think Dan Burn did anything wrong yesterday. I think, Lewis Hall did come off, and it certainly looks like a player who can offer more going forward. But I don't know. It's a tough one. We haven't seen enough of him to be able to judge what he offers this team, and whether he gets a system, and whether he can contribute in competitive Premier League fixtures. We just don't know.
This is very harsh on Dan Burn by me, but I swear there's only like one fullback in the country where goals can consistently be scored from his side, and like half the fan base doesn't want to give him any blame. At Man City last season, Phil Foden rinses him for the first goal in the league. At Man City earlier this season, Alvarez cuts inside from him and scores. It's like the last four goals have conceded, four of the last five at Man City have all been down Dan Burn's side. But yeah, a bit of bad luck, I suppose. The interesting thing about Burn, there's a few things I want to chat to you about their side. The interesting thing about Burn is I'm really frustrated that he didn't play at Arsenal, because that's the one game that we needed his height for defensive set pieces. So I'm thinking Hal got that wrong, unless there was something we don't know about. But he did come on and then played well when he came on, set up a goal. It's not natural to change your left back as much as Newcastle change your left back in game. And I think that speaks to the kind of bind Hal has got himself in through this loyalty to Burn. And you know, you have to be fair to Burn and say one of the best, well, part of the joint best defence last season. He does bring other things to the team, you know, maybe off the pitch or maybe if in a leadership capacity or a senior player capacity. But ultimately, if you keep conceding goals down your left side and you keep picking the same player to play there, although he played a different position yesterday, who did play left wing back yesterday?
Dan Burn.
Oh, Burn.
Yeah. He wasn't really a wing back. He barely left his half. Yeah. But he was the left-hand side of the five.
That was the goal, though, for him to push up, but he didn't.
Yeah, sorry, of course he did, yeah. So, my point should have been, it's not a natural position for him to play. But
he played it at Brighton a few times.
Yeah, he did. It's not natural, though. He's done it before, but it's not his normal position. It could have been.
Neither's left back.
So you look at the selection of Burn that a lot of Newcastle fans have an issue with, and like you say, Matt Target's come back, but he's injured. Is he being safe? But he just, even before he was injured in last season, he just never got a kick, never played. Lewis Hall, we're talking about protecting players. Is the best thing to protect Lewis Hall, hauling him off at halftime against Man City and hauling him off at halftime at Borussia Dortmund away? You know, that doesn't sound like particularly protective to me, or maybe there was necessities in those fixtures that compelled how to do that. Yesterday, like I think one of you touched on, would have been a good game for Hall maybe, or Target to be able to play at left wing back and provide a little bit more. attacking impetus. Mm-hmm. And then the short Longstaff thing, the frustration, I agree with what you're saying. I agree with how, okay, you've got to protect a kid who's played so much football when he shouldn't have. But if Sean Longstaff got injured, Miley would have to play. And as the fan inside me, it's like, okay, well, are you protecting a player for the detriment of the team? Because let me be clear, Sean Longstaff's performances recently have hindered the team, yeah. So, in my opinion. And people might think that's very harsh, but I think of his performance at Blackburn away when he was completely outclassed by all of Blackburn's midfielders. And it makes more sense now. Now we know he's having injections and he's essentially playing injured. Like, does he not also have a duty of care to Sean Longstaff? You yeah. know, is this a good thing for Sean Longstaff's career to be played in these circumstances? Yesterday, when those lads came on, it wasn't that they changed the game. Newcastle got a bit better and had some openings. I think it was you, Johnny, who said it. They just had an energy about them. Mm. And how has teams, traditionally anyway, rely on energy? They look lost without it. And therefore, the selection of Byrne and the selection of Longstaff in particular continually just... Not only is he constantly having to sub those players off in-game, which again can't be... I mean, again, the Longstaff thing makes more sense because he's injured, but I don't know. Let me put it to you. It just doesn't feel like the... It doesn't feel elite. It feels a bit like non-league. It feels a bit, you know, what? So we're playing injured lads because we have to protect these players, but we'll bring these players on every single game because we have to, because shit's hit the fan, because we're playing the players you're playing to protect the other ones. It just, I don't know, maybe I'm being looking for things. Again, would we have beaten Manchester City if he picks the subs instead of the lads who started? No. Probably not.
Probably not.
Maybe definitely not. Mm. So we're looking into things. But the general direction of travel at Newcastle as we're heading into this international break is people more and more questioning the manager's decisions, and they kind of just make less and less sense when you hear these things.
I was just going to add, I think putting Target or Lewis Hall in a left wing back position would have been a really sensible thing to do. Dan Byrne, I do feel sorry for him. I'm not as harsh as other fans. I just think he's still a left back, well, a centre half playing left back. That thought still comes across my mind all the time. And I'm thinking, for the vast majority, he's done okay. He's had good games, he's had bad games, and he's had a particularly last 6 to 8 weeks hasn't been good enough. So I do feel for him a little bit, but there was no reason why Target shouldn't be getting, when he's fully fit, and Hall particularly should be getting more of a chance when these players aren't playing well. We could have done Martino Livramento yesterday, and what the situation was there, we don't know, but hopefully he'll be back sooner rather than later. My other, obviously with Sean Longstaff, is just, I understand you don't want to tell everybody everything, I get that, but sometimes maybe in that case you did, because he was getting a lot of criticism. I mean, a lot of criticism, his performance against Chelsea. How he got 90 minutes against Chelsea, I will never know. If Bruno's not on a one yellow card away from a suspension, Sean Longstaff gets substituted. Now, I didn't think Sean was brilliant yesterday, but I didn't think it was his worst performance I've seen so far from him. But if it's a case that he needs a couple of weeks break, this international break's come at the right time just to get a bit of, I don't know, just to get a bit of a recovery more than anything. Might not even train that much, but we do have more options. And if Lewis Miley's available and is in a better physical condition that can play better football than Sean Longstaff, he has to be considered to start against West Ham, because at the minute he is playing better than Sean Longstaff.
I think as well, Sean Longstaff has been very open about his own kind of mental journey. He's a player that has struggled. He talked about it in a 442 article that's come out recently about how he has struggled and been quite up and down with his mental health, and he's, you know, had to speak to somebody and things like that, which, you know, massively commendable that A, he's talking about it, and B, he did something positive for himself. So all of that stuff. But almost to your point about sort of his physical health, you mentioned there that he gets lambasted on social media, gets all of this sort of stick for being shit. You know, wasn't very good against Blackburn. That can't be good. And I think that can't be good for him sort of long-term mentally anyway. And I think the point about the energy that came on with the sort of youngsters that came on around 62 minutes as is standard yesterday, there's not just physical fatigue in this team. I think there's a lot of mental fatigue. I think everybody's just exhausted from a kind of crazy season of an enormous amount of fixtures before Christmas, but fixtures that we were losing. And that takes its toll on players as well. And I just think... I'm sort of talking myself into the fact that we really should be making a lot more changes now with the personnel. There's 10 games left. We're okay in the league. We want to push on for Europe, but you know, how realistic? Maybe we should just be putting that energy injection, because it's not just physical energy, it's also that kind of mental energy, players who are desperate to get game time and show what they can do.
It's a really, really difficult position that Eddie Howe finds himself in with this, because, yeah, you're right. It happened at Dan Burn a lot earlier on in over December. He was the kind of the quote-unquote scapegoat. He was the target of fans' frustration. There was a lot more going on, by the way, than just the left-back having a bit of a bad spell. But, and again, I think Eddie Howe is aware of what kind of things are being said. And even if he's not looking at it directly, surely some of his coaching staff are picking up on it. And the players will be picking up on it. As you say, Sean Longstaff will be aware that he's getting a lot of criticism at the moment. You know, does the manager then take him out of the team and almost do what the fans are saying?
Yeah,
it's a really difficult position to be in with that. What impact does that have on the player? Right, the fans are calling me shit and the manager's dropped me. Like, that kills him, kills the player. I'm not saying that's a reason to keep playing him. I'm just saying it's a really difficult one to judge. And if the question for this part of the show was, should he have started some of these other players because it looked a bit better when they came on? It's impossible to answer because of what I said before. But, you know, the energy thing probably is the biggest one for me, is that, you know, if you take those players out of the team and have the other lads in, they've got something to prove, and they, you know, something different might happen, but it might not. And that's Eddie Howe's job to work out what is the right answer. You look at, like I say, Burn was okay yesterday, I've said it three or four times already, but the setup worked until that deflected goal kind of killed our momentum a bit. You know, Burns had a lot of criticism, and Longstaff has Murphy as well, although Murphy's kind of playing himself out of it. He does okay. He contributes as much as he bloody can in these situations. There's lots of questions about why he was chosen at right wing back. Like you say, we've got Emil Kraft, we've got other options there, but I thought he did fine. I thought, you know, you're going to get running and work rate from him. Longstaff, I don't know if Eddie Howe's just hoping that he's just going to find this form from somewhere and just keep playing, because we all know that from last season, he's a very good centre midfielder on his day. Dan Burn was the best statistical left back last season. Like, he knows that these players are capable of better, and whether the answer is take them out of the team for a bit and bring them back or keep playing them until they find that form again. He's trying the latter and it's not working, but it's not easy, and I'm kind of not trying to second guess him too much on why he keeps doing this. But as you said, Johnny, international break coming up, a chance to... for Elliot Anderson to get another 2 weeks worth of training in, because that's the key for me. I thought his performance when he came on out of the four subs was probably the most standout in terms of offering something different. A midfielder who's got a really good touch, he's got some ability on the ball, he can tackle. We looked different in midfield when he was in there. So and Miley was all right, but I think Anderson was the one for me, and I think he's the answer to the Sean Longstaff question: do we need to give this kid a break and bring in someone else? And that. Perhaps he wasn't fit enough to start a game yesterday. And again, hopefully in 2 weeks' time, the answer to that question is different.
I have to say, Eddie Howe shouldn't take Sean Longstaff out because fans are saying shit. Eddie Howe should take Sean Longstaff out because he's been playing shit. It doesn't really matter what fans are saying. It doesn't always mean they're right as well. You know, he made a lot of good points there, Si, and I particularly agree with you on Anderson. One thing I do want to say is that you say you can't play Lewis Miley at Man City away with Willock and Bruno. Longstaff does not make tackles. He's one of the worst midfielders in the Premier League for literally just making a tackle. He just shadows players. And that was why it was so refreshing to see Anderson just go and take the ball off a Man City player. Because, Bruno can't do that because he's on a booking, but he likes to press. He likes to try and win the ball back. Joe Willock, you know, a little bit in between the two and, you know, very good in the counter-attack. The issue with Longstaff and Newcastle's midfield at the minute, it's just a free pass for the opposition midfielder. I don't have the up-to-date stats, but I think after the Luton game, I had a look at this, and Longstaff was making, on average, less than two successful tackles per game in the Premier League. Most good Premier League midfielders make six. That's a huge statistical drop-off. So I think Miley should be playing ahead of Longstaff. But
Miley doesn't make tackles either, really.
But no, he does. You're right. For a long period in his Newcastle career, those last few games he started making four-plus tackles a game, which is normal for a Premier League midfielder. But we'll move on. We've talked about the team. I agree with you completely on Elliot Anderson. That could be the solution that saves the season. Bruno Guimaraes hopes so anyway. Let's leave it there, and we'll come back and talk about the rest of the season after these ads. Let's finish the show by looking at the rest of the season. Now Newcastle are out of all cup competitions. And let's face it, I thought they gave a good account of themselves in the Champions League and got the two cup quarterfinals. That ain't a disaster by any stretch of the imagination, considering in particular the cup draws Newcastle have had to face. Very good teams and pretty much all away ties in the domestic cups. Johnny, I'll start with you, mate. Season over?
Nearly. Nearly is probably the right answer. I think, look, I was always a bit, what's the best way of putting it? I was a bit undecided whether the Conference League would be a good thing for Newcastle United. But then someone said to me, and I thought it was a really good point, ask West Ham fans how they felt when they were in the Conference League. Ask Aston Villa fans how they felt when they while they were in the Conference League, and probably, unfortunately, the favourites to win the whole thing. I actually would really like Newcastle to see how good Newcastle can be in this Conference League, because there's some okay teams, there's some poor teams in that, especially in the early rounds. But I think it's probably the next stage in this development of Eddie Howe in this new Newcastle United. But it just depends. The fixtures we've got on paper, the toughest game on paper at the minute is probably either Tottenham at home or Manchester United away. They don't scare me, especially Spurs from yesterday. Man United are a bit all over the place at the best of times. They don't scare me. There are winnable games. There's no reason why Newcastle can't win the vast majority of those games, considering we've still got to play teams like Sheffield United, Burnley, Everton, you know, those sort of teams at the bottom as well. So the season's not over. It's nearly over. But we need to show something. We've got to show in these last 10 games that we are fighting for something, and we're going to prove that it's almost essentially the start of next season. It's almost like 10 games added to the following season. Let's prove that we can, A, be in this team, B, we've got something to fight for the fans more than anything.
The reality of the world in which Newcastle now inhabit is that if we can get 6 to 7 home Europa Conference games next season, it's like 1.5 to 2 billion pound a game. You know,
billion?
Million. Million, I wish.
Look at this, me. We're gonna win everything.
Sean Longstaff, we'll still get a game. that's what we like. That's the reality. If you can have it, like, just say, like, you know, you have a good run in the Europa Conference and can stick 10 million on your turnover, it's essential for you now. Wages to ratio turnover for next season. So I think that's absolutely crucial.
What a fun thing to think about.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm. Much more of that to come on True Faith as well. Stay tuned and join Patreon. I think, Johnny, the season, I disagree with you. The last 10 games, I agree with Bruno Guimarães more than anyone. The season still hangs in the balance. There's been so much negativity recently. Newcastle have been rubbish in a lot of games recently, in my opinion. But a good end to the season solves a lot, and I know I shouldn't look at last season for everything, but when Newcastle got knocked out of the cup and then lost to Manchester City last season, a lot of people, probably even us, were having the same conversations. We're in 7th or 8th in the league, top 4 looked like it had gone, and then we won 8 out of 9, and I'm not saying we're going to win 8 of 9 now, but seasons can be transformed in these 10 game periods. And if you look at the fixtures that Newcastle had at the start of the season and how the very, very difficult, most statistically difficult start in Premier League history or something like that, was a hindrance at the start of the season when we had everyone fit. Like, now is the dividend almost from that investment of difficult fixtures at the start of the season. And I just think for Eddie Howe, he is losing part of the fan base if he's not already lost them. And that might seem extreme to people that are still behind him, but I promise you it is the case.
There's so many comments on YouTube, on Twitter, how out.
Just walking out the ground.
Yeah.
Right? Just,
yeah.
You know, in the ground, and the next 10 games are essential, not just for Newcastle doing what they need to do from a competition perspective and finishing high for the most prize money and then European football prize money or revenue next season, but also, like, Bruno Guimarães is laying out there in black and white for people. He's saying 10 games to save the season from his perspective. He doesn't want to play for a fucking 10th place Premier League club. That's, I assume, was not in the brochure, and the club can kind of say as much as they like, and I'm sure they've got good reasons that they expected to drop off this season, and maybe all of the players expected to drop off this season. I don't think 10th place or 11th place as Newcastle could be if Chelsea win their next game and Newcastle don't. I don't think that was part of the process, falling so low. So they need to keep their best players. Even a player like Alexander Isak, probably hard for a lot of teams to buy him because he cost us so much. I mean, you know, he's on a long-term contract, but he doesn't want to play up front with 23% possession, getting like 4 touches in the penalty area at Chelsea, and he scores one at Chelsea and at Manchester City. So I just think the rest of the season is crucial. It's massive. Like, I'm all in on it, Si.
No, I totally agree. It's not over. It's definitely not over. And if any of these players start playing like it's over, then we're done for. And that's Eddie Howe's problem to solve. I totally agree. In the Europa Conference, I was the same. I was like, no way do we want to be in that stupid competition playing Thursdays and Sundays. But this team needs to learn how to play 3 game weeks if they've got any ambition of winning trophies in the future. I think Eddie Howe needs to learn how to manage that situation better. I think the players need to learn how to manage that situation better. I think the entire club needs to learn how to deal with European football. And if the Europa Conference is where we start that again, then that's where we'd be. You know, we're 3 points from seventh as we sit. And the last 10 games, I would say there's eight of them that we could and should be winning. And if we win six or seven of them, that's probably...
Win five?
Yeah, win five and, like, win five and take some trouble. Yeah, well, that's probably enough. That probably would be enough to get a seventh, maybe eighth. The teams around us are inconsistent as well. That's why that pack's so small. You know, Chelsea could go above us, so we could be 11th with their game in hand. But that means there's literally 3 points between six places or whatever it is. It's mental. It's so close. So if we get a bit of a run together, and we have to, and Bruno Gmaris is absolutely right, it's about saving the season, because it has turned, whether people want to admit it or not, and I hate it, it's turned. The last few games I've been to, I thought the crowd has been very different. I think there's a lot more, not just social media, but general noise around the question of Eddie Howe and whether this team needs to start again. I think it's really important that they finish the season strongly, get to the summer, because let's face it, I think Eddie Howe's safe, regardless of what fan opinion is. I think he will start next season as the manager, and I think he'll be given some reinforcements and some summer rebuilding. Now, it's just important to offload some players as to bring people in, but there's a big reset that needs to happen in the summer, but that big reset can be made much, much easier if we finish the season strongly, get to, say, seventh, get to the Europa League or Europa Conference, depending on how the coefficients and everything works out. Still don't know at this point, do we? Hopefully Man City win the cup now. I think that can be a positive end of the season. I think that we can go into the summer and knowing that there's a rebuild needed, and then start the season as a clean slate and park all this kind of disappointment and frustration. You know, we get to the end of the season and we start again. I think it is getting harder to be around the stadium because it's getting negative and things have turned. And I get it. I get the frustration, but the club at the start of the season, we all said at the start of the season, it's going to be hard. The cup draws have been mental. All the mitigations we've talked about all season have been mental. And I think sometimes we've just got to look at football. It's a confidence game. It's a momentum game. And we haven't been able to build any this season because of how many brick walls we've hit. And we're still in with a shout of finishing in a decent position, in a position that most people, if not unanimously, said would have been okay. Seventh and some cup runs and an enjoyable European campaign. And I think we got all of that this season. So on the caveat that we do finish strongly and finish seventh, I'll be really pleased.
Yeah, it is all to play for. And I also think getting into the Conference League, it has a massive impact on fans. Those are, as Johnny says, like quite winnable games. They should be enjoyable games. They should be fun. And we need to get back into kind of winning ways. As a fan base, that will have a massive lift. You know, there is the sort of the caveat or the underlying, these aren't the best teams in Europe, but I don't really think that matters. I think as long as you're winning, you can have a winner's mentality and you get better and it's playing more games. It's getting more game time for all our different players, hopefully a bit more rotation, hopefully fewer injuries next season, all of that stuff. So I think it's imperative that we go into these next 10 games. Got a break now. We hopefully will have a few players back. Nick Pope should be back in April. That'll be a massive boost to us. I don't think that can be underestimated at all. Hopefully, you know, we get back to fitness and all of that stuff. But I think it's crucial that we don't sort of, you know, I know we've hit that sort of coveted 40 points, but I think it's absolutely crucial now that we go on and win every game that we possibly can. And, you know, you say five, I'm like, I expect us to be winning like eight of those. We have the quality. We have time now. You don't agree?
I just expect to win eight. Yeah, like, expect to be disappointed.
I'd love it. I'd love it. I'm the same as you that I would love it. But
yeah,
you know,
expect is probably a bit strong.
Yeah, I think if we win five and draw two, we'll get seventh.
Yeah, expect is probably a bit strong. But, you know, I want to be strong about it because I want to highlight or underline or put in bold how important it is that we go into this next run and put together a run of games where we're winning.
It's also crucial just for next season. Forget about European qualification. You want that feel-good factor. You want the players, the fans, and the owners of the club to be in unison as they kind of once were. Still are now overall, I think, but, you know, in terms of what it was like, we aren't going to kind of bounce into next season with three wins out of 10 in ninth place and worrying about losing players. I mean, we could lose Bruno Gmaris regardless of how many games we win of these last 10 because he's so in demand, I imagine. You know, Pep Guardiola's consistently talking about when Newcastle plays. Obviously, in my opinion, just kind of laying a little bit of groundwork there for an approach. But, you know, then it's really interesting. The next two games are two home games in 4 days against West Ham and Everton, both eminently beatable, both at different ends of the table. We win both of those, you take 4 points from those, you are looking forward to the rest of the season. If those games go badly, and I'm not saying they will, but if... This is the thing about losing, this is why results matter. Monday was bad in its own right, but then it was bad because we were likely to lose yesterday, and yesterday was bad because we were out of the cup, but we also lost Monday. Mm. It piles pressure onto that West Ham game in particular, and the way that, not trying to get in too much of a preview of that one, but the way West Ham want to play is probably the way Newcastle don't want to play. So West Ham will want to play counter-attack and give Newcastle the ball and let Newcastle press them. That's to their advantage. And if anyhow does the same thing again and doesn't go with the approach we saw against Wolves, then there'll be lots of questions if we don't win the game. But I'm getting ahead of myself. We can leave it there. We can enjoy 2 weeks of unlimited non-stop Patreon content instead. Talking about all sorts of things.
Unlimited,
yeah. If you join the top tier. There's a link in the description of this podcast if you like what we do. My thanks to you, Johnny, Charlotte, and Si, for coming in to speak to us about this today. Thanks to everybody who listens and watches. We'll be back with another one of these free shows during the international break. We're going to have three of them before the next post-game one, which is West Ham. So speak to you all then. Bye-bye.